Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, Dave Solomon, thank you so much. Whew, such a day already. Look, we've said it before, we'll say it again. If you could see what goes on behind the scenes here at the Homestead, where the show is conducted, you would laugh yourself silly. It would take away from the time at the office now, because time might go a little faster if you knew and could laugh your way through past few hours before the show actually starts at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Just learned in the past 5 minutes, Max Call, God bless him, one of my favorite vocalists on the planet, who was with 38 Special, had a solo career, very successful, now with Grand Funk Railroad. He just wrote to me to tell me he has left me 4 tickets for us for the Maryland State Fair tonight. So I'm beside myself, and I was already beside myself because our good friend Willie Bradley is coming up in the second hour of the show. This has been a pretty cool day. He is home from Florida. Life is good. Woo! And as is the usual case, you know what we do in the first hour of the show if there's no guest, right? Well, let me inform you. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy is all about making sure you know what the good new stuff is all about and the classics. We're going to start out with Wes Montgomery from 1965. This is Unit 7. Thank you.
reaching out, touch a stranger. Electric eyes are everywhere. See that girl, she knows I'm watching. She likes the way I stare. If they say why, why?
You know I had to play that song, right? Of course I did. Couple of reasons why. First, it just worked out that there were two songs back-to-back in that three-song set that seemed to make sense because of the association from one to another. Whew. Man, already it's deep. We're just starting the show now. Here's the deal. That song, Human Nature, came to the attention of Quincy Jones by way of David Page from Toto. Now, the song was written by Steve Porcaro from Toto and John Bettis, but David was the one who introduced the song to Quincy without the lyric. Now, Quincy went through the entire tape cassette that David had given to him and wasn't crazy about anything until he got to that end song and went, oh, that's weird. I like that. What is that going on at the end? Da, 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 da. Because apparently there was some vocalization. So Quincy said, yeah, like that song. Do you think that you could have a lyric for me in the next few days? So John Bettis wrote the lyric. Now, I don't know about you, but that particular song is one of the more powerful songs that we've had since we first heard it in 1982 on Thriller by Michael Jackson. Had to play it for one reason, because Michael Jackson would have been 56 tomorrow. Joy Hall, too, by the way. So if you get a chance to say yay or hey or hello to Joy Hall in the next 24 hours, it's her birthday as well tomorrow. Now, the song that we heard in the middle was by Brian Culbertson with some help from Steve Lukather from Toto. So it just seemed like a Toto kind of forum for for those couple of songs because Brian and Steve work so well together. There's something really cool about Brian coming from his particular place, which is jazz, etc., and then Steve very firmly in the rock world. And that song, Beautiful Liar, from Brian's album, Another Long Night Out, is just phenomenal. Brian has a 20th anniversary tour live CD that's going to be recorded at the Yoshi's in Oakland on the 11th of September to the 14th. And check this out. If you go to his website, you will find that on the 2nd of September, he has a new project called Breathe coming to us, which is piano for relaxation, yoga, and meditation. He's just delving into different kinds of avenues, isn't he? I think that is so cool. Brian, Steve, Michael Jackson, so far so good. And we started off with Wes Montgomery, 1965. Whew, Smoking at the Half Note. Some of it was live at the Half Note that was recorded in June of 1965. Some of it was recorded in September of that year at Rudy Van Gelder's beautiful studio in New Jersey. So you got the best of all worlds. And the second go-round with the Wynton Kelly Trio, Wynton on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Jimmy Cobb on drums. Just an amazing, inspirational, influential, yes, CD. A lot of folks, a lot of guitarists will tell you that Wes Montgomery, first of all, just because he was Wes Montgomery, had a lot of influence on him, on them. But then that particular project was just so popping. My God. Brothers Monk and Buddy Montgomery were doing music just a little ahead of Wes. Wes was the one who got the glory. But the interesting thing to note about Wes Montgomery is that he was not on this planet for very long. And I have to tell you this story once again. I have told you this before, but it bears mentioning just because in seeing the Emmy Award show the other day, did you see how many beloved people we lost this year? Not all of them, of course, for the same reason, but just hang on to your life as much as you can and be reasonable about what to do regarding your health. I'm not sure what was going on in Wes Montgomery that day in June of 1968, but here's what happened. He was 45 years old. He woke up. He told his wife, beautiful relationship those two had, that he wasn't feeling well. Within minutes, he collapsed and was gone from a heart attack. So I made it a big deal a week or so ago to say that I took myself to the emergency room in a county miles and miles away. You really do have to listen to what's going on in your head or what's going on with your body. It's a pain in the neck sometimes because life gets in the way. It might not be convenient, but we really do want to have you around for a while, for as long as we can. So please take care of your health. Every time I play a Wes Montgomery song, I think of that story because if he was turning out music now, shoo-wee, you kidding me? That music would, we wouldn't be thinking so hard about what's going to be happening to jazz if some of these guys were still around, right? Yeah. Willie Bradley, got to make sure his health is intact. Got to make sure. He's here next hour, and man, that baby can blow on that trumpet like nobody's business. Such a background. We'll delve into it as much as we can. And speaking of trumpet, let's play Cindy Bradley, shall we? It was Wayne Shorter's birthday a few days ago. He turned 81. This is his song, one of the best that Cindy Bradley has done on her Unscripted CD from a few years ago. This is Footprints on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz. good friends Lynn Verano and Ken Avis from the group called Verano and September Moon, which is a very cool song written by one of the gentlemen who is in the group, David Rosenblatt, who wanted to pen a song about not necessarily the month that's coming up far too quickly, by the way, but he wanted to sort of delve into finding unexpected romance at a later age. Oh, raise your hand if you can relate to that. Oh, my. So beautiful. This is from Jazz Samba Project that Verano did in 2012. They wanted to certainly pay homage to the 1962 album Jazz Samba, recorded in Washington, D.C., and that is where Verano is based. It's the celebration of the album's golden anniversary from long ago, and the group got to do what they do so well in the same locale at the Unitarian Church in D.C. Very, very nice to have spent so much time with Lynn and Ken. Hopefully we can do that before T and I leave for Florida in December. We really would like to see them again. They're going to be around town, certainly. They have these regular gigs in these beautiful places. It's such a joyful group to see when you have these four artists in front of you that have a good time. That good time translates in a myriad of ways, because some people are just so wonderful in the way of conveying their instrument, whether it's vocal or whether it's an actual musical instrument, but they don't seem to be having a good time. Every one of the cast of characters in Verano is always having a good time. And this particular foray around, Jeff Antoniuk is on the CD, as well as Jim McFalls on trombone, and Alejandro Lucini on percussion, all tracks, just lending the credibility of that European vibe, especially when it comes to Brazil. We heard, too, oh my, did we ever, from Wayne Shorter, Flying Down to Rio, 12.5-minute track from Without a Net. And, man, you talk about some help on that. Woo-hoo! Danilo Perez, John Patitucci, and Brian Blade helping out the master. Gracious, just so you know, how cool does this sound? Wayne Shorter is, how can I say this? He was approached to do a documentary, and it's actually called, I believe, Zero Gravity Live. So, Herbie Hancock had an idea. The idea was to enlist the help of some friends of Herbie's, very high-toned friends that live in Bel Air, California. So they're going to have a party on the 28th of September so that folks who are invited can contribute to the completion of the documentary. There that night will be Herbie Hancock, Quincy Jones, Joni Mitchell, Wayne Shorter, Herb Alpert. You can tell where this is going. So I think that they're going to probably have the money by the end of that night. We'll keep you posted on that, because that sure sounds like a good time. Wayne Shorter was 81 on the 25th of August, so belated happy birthday to you, Wayne. Willie Bradley coming your way in less than 10 minutes. I thought we'd play a couple of tunes to get up to that hour, and we have a song for the gals in the chat room. Now, I just, the other day, made it a point to call out this gentleman so that he could be part of the 10 days of thankfulness that many people on Facebook are doing. So he informs me that the EP that he has had out will have completion, meaning a full-blown album that will be launched by means of a Kickstarter project. So he will be with us, hopefully again, in September or early October to talk about it. I'm speaking of Mark Arthur Miller. This is from Soul Searching, and because it would have been Michael Jackson's 56th birthday tomorrow, I thought we would play this track because we know how much the gals in the chat room are fond of it. The Way You Make Me Feel, Mark Arthur Miller on Hybrid Jazz.
Pretty baby with your high heels on, you give me fever like I've never ever known. You're just a product of loveliness. I like the groove of your walk, your talk, your dress. I feel your fever from miles around. Can I pick you up in my car? And we'll paint the town. Just kiss me, baby, and tell me twice that you're the one for me. The way you make me feel, you're giving me. Just hold me, baby, and I'm in ecstasy. Oh, I've been working, 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 girl, from 9 till 5, to buy you things, to keep you by my side. I never felt so in love before. Just promise me, baby, that you love me forevermore. I swear I'm keeping you satisfied, 'cause you're the one for me. The way you make me feel, you really turn me on. You knock me over my feet, yeah, baby. My lonely days are gone. No more lonely I'm
ago.
Man, you talk about two profoundly good songs back to back. Oh, I wish I could tell you the conversation in the chat room right now, but no, we are not going to do that because what goes on in the chat room stays in the chat room. Whew. First, we heard Mark Arthur Miller from his Soul Searching EP, and that was his take on, I can't even speak, oh my gosh, the Michael Jackson song, The Way You Make Me Feel. Mm. And then we heard this beautiful follow-up, just a natural ebb and flow of things from Willie Bradley from his Another Day and Time CD. And Willie's take on the Bobby Caldwell song, What You Won't Do for Love. Apparently, there is quite a list of what we'll do for love, so says the chat room. No, I'm just kidding. Our guest is absolutely amazing. If you ever get a chance to see this gentleman, and he is indeed that, on a live stage, your world will change. And here is why. Willie Bradley has this spectacular resume. When you come from a place where he comes from in the way of music and honing that kind of artistry on a trumpet, being involved in multiple genres to the point where you feel so comfortable and people love you so much and gravitate to you that you're working with, are you ready? Betty Carter, Frank Foster, Max Roach, Clark Terry, Dizzy Gillespie. And then on the other hand, you also have the road that takes you to be working with folks like Foreplay, Joey Somerville, Bobby Blue Bland. You know that you're doing something right. So here's Nicholas Cole. Nicholas and his dad took some sort of interest, we have to know the story, and pulled out all the stops for this CD, Another Day and Time, so that Willie Bradley could shine, and my God, does he shine. Whew, you just heard a prime example why. We're going to get to a few more. Please make welcome one of the coolest cats on the planet and very talented to boot, one of the premier trumpet players that we know of, Willie Bradley. Hey, Willie.
Hey, how you doing, Trish?
I'm better now, but I got you on the phone.
All right.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Trish. I'm having a ball.
I know you are. You always have a ball, don't you? Seriously.
Yes, I do. I'll do it every day.
Isn't that a beautiful
every
thing?
Every single day.
You were having a ball that night when you were with the All-Stars, no doubt about it. Christian was so happy to have you at that big old place in Woodbridge, Virginia. That was a blast, wasn't it?
Yes, I had a ball. I had really had a ball. It was truly an All-Star cast of musicians. You know, it was just awesome to even be, and humbling to even be considered as a part of that. You know?
Oh,
I really appreciate Christian for calling me for that.
Oh, my gosh, no. Listen, he thinks the world of you. He and I have had conversations since, and he just thinks that the sun rises and sets in you for sure.
Whoa.
Just so you know
oh,
that.
Oh, man.
Yes.
That's good to know.
Yes. So did you know any of those guys that you were playing with that night, Willie, or was that a first-time
greeting? I knew Christian. I met Christian a few months ago. When I went to Woodbridge Got Talent, and he was one of the judges at the event that night, and I got second place. I won $1,000 in that event.
Oh my gosh!
And I knew Eddie Bacchus, and the event was held in the same place at K2, and I met Christian then, and we started talking, and we knew several people in common, and Eddie Bacchus is a very good friend of mine. I met him at NAMM a couple of years ago, and we both went through the same artist development agency, Beyond One Entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Giles. And I invited Eddie down here for the jazz series that I host called the Marquise Market Jazz Series. And Eddie came down here and just tore the house down. We've been friends for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, you and Eddie have this ability. I've known Eddie for several years now, and he always brings a smile to my face. He has called me on more than one occasion to sort of vent or to ask advice about different kinds of situations. Women have been part of that, Willie.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know. So both of you have this particular thing that you do. You take the stage, and it seems to be a situation where the energy changes when you do. Willie, I mean, I could have heard you play all night that night. Oh, my God.
Hmm?
It was like that.
Wow.
Yes. You're so... You are so at one with that trumpet, and how long have you felt as though, or did you ever consider that if you didn't have your trumpet, what would you do? What was your inspiration initially, and why was it that you gravitated to trumpet?
Okay, well, it all started, the music started in my life at a very, very, very early age. You know, my dad's album you could name in our living room where we were growing up. I mean, they're like all from one side, one end of the living room to the other. We had a stereo then that played albums, and he had everything from Brooke Benton, Jimmy Smith, Dizzy Gillespie, Clark Terry, Eddie Carter, all those people I've named, Frankie Beverly and Mays, Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass, Chet Baker, you name it, he had it. And, you know, I got really interested in music at an early age because, you know, my mom is a school teacher, and on the weekends, every Saturday, our chores were to clean the house, get our clothes ready, wash our clothes, and iron our clothes for every day of the week for the next week before we could go outside. That was on Saturday. So we couldn't turn the TV on because cartoons were on, and there was a huge distraction. Cartoons were on. So she said, you can't turn the TV on, but you guys can listen to the stereo. So, man, we'd be in the house, and the music would be on, and we'd be in the house with the broom handles and the vacuum cleaner, dancing in the living room to, you know, all these people. And, you know, I like the sound of the trumpet. I'd be mimicking Dizzy Gillespie playing the trumpet. And, you know, when it was time to get into middle school band, you know, I told my mom I wanted to play in the band. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, they took us to the school and we got the instrument. And I wanted to play drums, actually, but, you know, back then they were, I was a small fella, still kind of small, but, you know, they were marching in middle school with the full premiere, you know, chrome drums, and they were real heavy. I put a drum on and I fell straight to the ground because it was too heavy. And I wanted to play in the band so bad. And my band director said, well, they want you to play the trumpet. And I just said, okay, I'll play the trumpet. And I just wanted to be in the band so bad, didn't you know? But I loved the trumpet, and I gravitated to it, and I really got serious about it, and that's how pretty much I got my start in playing the trumpet. That's how I got interested in music.
Your parents were pretty supportive of you, weren't they?
Yes, they were very supportive. My mom never missed any of my concerts, not one.
Oh my gosh, what a blessing that is! Oh, did you realize it at the time how fortunate you were, or do you realize it now?
You know what? I realized it then. Okay, when we grew up, you know, I grew up with my dad's an alcoholic growing up, and my mom pretty much held everything down, you know, on a teaching salary. But you know, when my mom took me to the school that day to pick up that instrument, you know, I had to write her, I promise her that if she bought me the trumpet, that I would never quit playing. So it came with a price. Following
oh
family,
my
back
yes.
Then something like that, and you know, I think the rent on the trumpet per month is like maybe $20. But hey, but back then, bro, that was a lot of money. I promised
yes.
my mom if she got me that trumpet, I would never quit playing as long as I live. And I hold true to my promise to her. And you know, a lot of my friends I know is valuable right now. You know, because you know, a lot of my friends that I was playing with in middle school and high school, they don't play anymore. And I never quit. And I hear them on, I see them on Facebook, and they call me and say, Willie, man, I can't believe you still playing. I'm like, yep, you know. And that's what I love doing. That is the you know, other than just being alive, that's the other, you know, serious thing that I gravitate to in my life. That's the other most important thing that there is to my life right now. And I take it very serious.
I know you do because you're a very serious fellow. The beauty of this is that you kept that promise to your mom.
Yep.
That just is
sure
so
did.
Thrilling. Man, yeah. You know what? We know a lot of people, don't we, where they grew up in households where mom pretty much held it together because of dad. I know that my Aunt Edna never talked about this before, but you can relate to this, Willie. My mom's sister had a hard time of it because she had, you know, a few children, and whenever her husband, my Uncle Jack, whenever he got a paycheck, for a time there, for a long time, he would spend that money on booze.
Okay,
so
right.
She had to make way of finding a way to put food on the table with what she had. So, you know, you grow up in an environment like that, you can go one of a couple of different ways. You can say, what's the use? Or you can say, not going to do this, going to make my life worth living. And that's what you did.
Right. Well, Trish, you know, it came with a price, though, you know, because I always said that I would never be like my father, and I turned right around. And, you know, little do you know, when you're growing up sometimes, if you got that, if it's in the genetics and in your family makeup on both sides, alcohol and drug addiction, hey, I fell right down that same, you know, that same vicious cycle. And my life was very dark there for many years. I hid the drug and alcohol addiction. Well, I couldn't hide the drug addiction. I mean, the alcohol addiction. But, you know, and I wound up, you know, here, you know, with 60 DWIs and, you know, and a high speed chase sending me to jail, you know, to rehab for like I tried it for like four times, and the last time, the fourth time was, I guess it was a charm. You know, I was just tired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, what used to be recreational use, you know, became a habit that I couldn't stop. And thank God for delivering me from the drugs and alcohol, because, you know, I knew I had something special, you know, with playing the trumpet, but I hid behind the fear of wondering if I would be good enough, or, you know, sometimes you have that fear when you have the monkey of drugs and alcohol weighing you down. And you have a lot of self-doubt. I was very insecure with who I was, you know. And just, you know, after I got through the drug addiction, man, I just decided that I was going to trust God and stop trusting people and move forward with my life, and I was going to give it a shot, because there's always that thing that musicians have in the back of their mind. I wonder what would have happened if I would have gone for it. And that was in the back of my mind for all those years, even during my drug and alcohol use, you know. And then I just, one day I was like, man, I'm going for it, and I'm going to put all my marbles in this basket. And this is the result, this is the beginning result of, you know, me moving forward with that. And God
Beautiful.
Really, truly blessed me with a lot of people that are in my corner, people that are very supportive and helping me to get to where I'm at. So, you know, I really appreciate all the people that have helped me. I don't know if you looked inside the CD cover that I have, Another Day in Time.
There's
a ton of names that are in that cover. And the way I got the CD project done, you know, I got when Nicholas called me, and his father called me one morning after I had Nicholas on the jazz series that I had here. You know, he said they liked my sound, and they wanted to know if I would be interested in doing a CD project with Nicholas. And I say, do you want me and the other two guys? I said, no, Willie, we just want you. And he said, Nicholas will produce and co-write the whole project for you, because Nicholas is trying to, you know, build up his producer credits and in the industry, and he wanted to produce one full project on somebody, you know, just to see, and he chose me. And Nicholas said, well, we talked about it, and he talked about how much it would be, you know, per track for me to go to his house, because he lives like an hour and a half from me in Goldsboro, North Carolina. So he told me what he had to have, and I was like, man, I don't have the money. But I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and man, our church had just taken photos for like our directory with everybody's name, phone number was in it, picture of the family,
yeah.
And everything like that. So I mean, I got the booklet and had everybody in my church name and address in it. So I got a professional letter written up, a sponsorship letter telling them about all the things I was wanting to do and what I'd already started doing, and that they would give me some support financially towards a project that I would put their names inside the CD project. Well, I mailed the letter out on a Monday, and all week went by, got to church on Sunday because I play in church on Sundays. And, hey, man, when I got sat down in church to take my horn out, two of the church members came up and gave me two envelopes. But each one had $100 in it. And then when the collection plate went around in church,
wow,
two more people stopped by and gave me two envelopes. And then a person at the end of church gave me, said, hey, Brother Bradley, I want to see you outside. You know, and he gave me another envelope with another $100. I had $500 after that first day, which was enough to cover the first track that Nicholas and I did. And that's when we did Another Day in Time. And for like 6 months after that, I mailed a letter to all the church members and a whole ton of my friends. And, man, checks came in the mail every day for like the next 6 months. I ended up getting about $4,800 towards the project. So, hey, you want to do something and you don't have the means, you have to think. I'm so glad that God cleared the drugs and alcohol out of my mind so I could think clearly. And you know, when your heart is sincere and you reach out to help other people and don't think about your needs, God will give you the desire of your heart. And
that's right.
Really different. He knew what I wanted. And, you know, that's why I take everything I do very serious, you know. You know, I know I'm on borrowed time right now because, according to man, I should be dead and gone, but God has something else for me, and I'm so glad that he saved me and kept me from this.
Woo! Hallelujah. Man, I felt that, honestly. Yes, you certainly have a special mission here on Earth, Willie, that's for sure. And it took you, you know, I always quote this from Maya Angelou because it's one of my favorite quotes ever. When we know better, we do better. But first, we have to get to the point where we realize that we're doing better. That's the addendum I would put to that quote. Because sometimes, you know, people can tell you what common sense is, but if you're not paying attention to what their sense of common sense is, ain't going to do anybody any good to listen, right? You have to get to that point.
That's right.
Woo! And you did, and you were listening, and look at the reward you got when you finally listened. How beautiful.
Right.
Man. Well, look, I got to tell you that I have a couple of favorites on Another Day in Time. I've been really enjoying the gift of musicianship on here because you've got some people on this CD that you need to mention because folks like this, if they believe in somebody, they'll be there. But if they don't believe in somebody the way that they believed in you, they wouldn't be there. So you want to talk about who else besides Nicholas Cole is on this project with you?
Okay. Well, when I was going through this process, in the beginning of the process when I was wanting to do the CD and Nicholas gave me the, you know, we started talking about it, you know, prior to the project, I was on Facebook, and I wanted to, you know, when you're trying to do something, you want to check out the people that are doing what you want to do, and you want to pick the ones that are doing real well. Well, Marcus Anderson was on the jazz series that I had as well, and Marcus was saying, man, Willie, you really need to do your own CD. You know, you need to do your own CD. Nick was like, Willie, you need to do your own CD. Ryan Kilgore. He's a saxophone player for Stevie Wonder. He said, Willie, you need to be doing your own CD. All these people are calling me and telling me that. And one day I was on Facebook, and I reached out to Len Roundtree. And Len Roundtree is a fraternity brother. We're in Omega Phi Phi fraternity together. And we started talking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I saw that Len was pretty hot. He was doing a lot because, you know, and he said, Willie, you need to be doing this, and this is what you need to do. He said, I don't need you to make any mistake like I did, so I'm going to help you. He sent me a track for the CD, which is No Need.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicholas and I put the music to the track, and not only did Len send me a track, he wrote that, and he also, I featured him on What You Won't Do for Love. Okay? So that's the kind of help I needed. Jeff Koshua was very close friends with Nicholas, and he sent Jeff the track, and Jeff liked it, and Jeff played on it, I got the opportunity to meet Jeff when he came to Durham to DPAC for a concert, and he said he was very pleased with the track. He loved it. And then K-Top Monsuno from California, you know, mm-hmm. he played it for it. Now, all these people, and like I said, Marcus Anderson is on the track. All these guys, you know what, let me tell you, they realized what I was trying to do. And with Nicholas and all the musicians at his access who he's producing for and he's helping out, and Nicholas had access to all these people, okay? And, you know, there were other people that were supposed to get on the project that we didn't get around to on this first project that we're probably going to get around to on the second one. But I had musicians reaching out to me and say, Willie, if you need my help, I'll help you. People like Julian Vaughn, Darren Ron,
wow.
Greg Manning. I mean, all these guys are friends of mine that I met. And I had to, you know, they were Facebook friends. Frank Selman, all these guys are like Facebook friends, and Nicholas kind of, we reached out to him, and you know what? The beautiful thing about it is they didn't charge me one penny to help
Oh,
me.
My gosh. That is so
awesome. They
didn't awesome.
Charge me. That was truly humbling for them to be able to help me, you know, my project like that. And because, you know, I know that you don't, I know it was a special CD because you don't get those kind of artists on a first CD most of the time.
That's
you know,
correct.
Especially not all of them at once on one project. So, you know, my hat's off to Nicholas for getting them to help me. And, you know, if they didn't believe in the music that we wrote, they wouldn't have done it. And, I've spoken to every last person that was featured on the CD, and they already have a copy of the CD, and I've already expressed how much I appreciate them, you know, helping me out. And they continue to reach out to me today.
Well, you know, sincerely, Willie, and I'll say this for everybody who knows you, and certainly everybody in the chat room today, because people quickly realize what you are made of. And it's not only because you are a wonderful artist who's got this amazing ability to slide through and be authentic in each genre that you might be playing in, but it's you as a person. People just want to be able to support you and encourage you because of the spirit that you emanate. You've got this beautiful spirit, and it's real down to earth. It's welcoming, and it's warm, and folks gravitate to somebody who has that kind of positivity. So you'll be getting a lot of this kind of attention in the days to come. You will.
It's incredible. Oh. What happens every day. It's not, Trish, it's not one day I don't wake up that something great happens in my life. You know what I'm saying? Either some booking agent is calling me, or somebody's calling me for a gig, or somebody's, you know, wanting to do something as far as an endorsement, or, you know, it's always something good every single day, something positive.
That is so beautiful. Well, I feel it in the music, too. I really do, Willie, I have to say. We just, you know, you mentioned Lynn Roundtree. He's been on Hybrid Jazz, too. It was really a cool thing to see him perform last year, and I know what kind of a heart he has. He's a really generous guy. Can we play the track, No Need? Let's do that.
Yes, you can.
All right. This is Willie Bradley with us, and another, it's really, I can't say enough about it, another Day and Time CD. This is No Need on Hybrid Jazz. Oh, yes, sir. On top of everything else, that bass player is giving us a little bit of that Wayman Tisdale vibe, too. Woo, I like that.
That's Mr. John Dillard. That's John Dillard on bass from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Go ahead, John. That sounds nice, Willie. I'm telling you what, man. Every track is something really delicious, and I love the idea that here's this young man, Nicholas Cole, and here you, this seasoned road warrior who's been doing his thing for a long time, coming together. And actually, our mutual friend, Jonathan Widren, said it best. I mean, he really did write something very glowing about you. And Jonathan wouldn't say it unless he meant it, because I know him. So
Correct.
He talked about how wonderful it was to get the input for you so that you could stretch beyond what even maybe you thought that you could do. This is just, I'm so excited for you, and you're excited for you too, aren't you?
Yep. This is a dream come true, Trish.
I'll bet.
You know, every artist wants to know if they would be able to stand on their own name. You know, I played in several different groups, and I've been playing as a sideman for people. But man, you know, it ultimately comes to being able to stand on your own name and your own music. And that was always my dream, to do a solo project for Willie Bradley, and you know, it came with a price, though. You know, I played with a couple guys, you know, for many years, and to tell them that, you know, sometimes people not on the same sheet of music with you, their dreams are not your dreams and their vision is not your vision. And it comes a point, man, it's a heartbreaking thing, but you have to move on. You outgrow people, and you know, some people just want to be local artists, and they just want to just be, you know, their sights aren't set far, you know. And
right.
I wanted to become a world famous musician. And I didn't want to just play local. I just didn't want to just play in the United States. I wanted to play around the world, you know. And, you know, when, like I said, when God gives you a vision, if you don't act on it, you're going to lose it. You know, as long as you can see it,
yeah.
you know, there means to obtain it, you know, that's the dream itself. So, you know, my dreams are still alive, very alive, and I will never let that die.
You are right about that. Willie, and it doesn't get discussed enough, but if you're paying attention to what direction your life is supposed to take, you better act on what that directive is, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to know that that's a divine direction that you've been given. And if you ignore that, you're going to wind up in a mess that might be even messier than the one that you left. You have to pay attention to what's going on. You know, if you say that you are a believer, I'm not pointing you out, but anybody, if we say that we're believers and we don't act on the simple things that are in our day-to-day life, we have to pay attention to the people that we meet. We have to pay attention to the people that we need to foster relationships with. And God will keep opening these doors if we say, oh, that doesn't mean anything, I'm just overthinking it, we're missing out on some serious blessings.
That's real. That's for sure.
And you are living proof of that, because you're just a pure vessel now. You've really paid some dues to come to this point where you are, you know, like the song says, make me a channel of your peace. That's what you're all about right now. It's a beautiful thing, Willie. It really is. Woof. Man, so how long did it take for you to do Another Day in Time? How was it, a long, drawn-out thing?
It took us about Nicholas wanted to take his time with the project, and we knocked out four songs, you know, fairly quickly, and then Nicholas was still working on getting his second project out, and he was also producing for some other people, and he was getting to do some gigs, and I was pretty busy playing some gigs myself, so it took us about 2 years to get the project done.
Wow.
We recorded Another Day in Time, November 2011. That was the very first one we recorded, and we released it February 4th of 2014. So. That's how long it took, but you know.
Here's the thing. You and Nicholas wrote most of the songs here, and I have to say that these songs stuck with me. And for me to say that, that's a big deal. They stuck with me. There was something that was so, I'm trying to find the words to describe the songs. Haunting. There's a couple of songs that have become my recent favorites, and I want to get to at least one of them. But seriously, Willie, you and Nicholas working together produced some sort of magic quality. You felt that too, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am, we sure did. You know, it was funny how some of the songs came about. You know, Nicholas had one of the tracks done, and he didn't have the melodic lines, and I'd come in and play. He said, "I really need your help with the melodic line for this." So that's why it was said, you know, we co-wrote the songs, and one song, I think it was "Only Time Will Tell." I was up late about 3 or 4 in the morning, practicing and going through music, and that kind of. And then I sat my horn down and laid down in the bed, and that melodic line, da 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 came to my head, and I jumped up out of my bed 4 in the morning and got my trumpet out, put the mute in, and played the line, and then I recorded it on my phone, and the next day I sent it to Nicholas. Nicholas said, "Oh, man, I like that, Willie." So, and we had a session the next day. Man, when I got to Nicholas's house, Nicholas already had the track done for the song. And the boy's just a genius.
How about that? Man, isn't that something? So young to figure this stuff out. My gosh. Wow.
He's amazing. Truly amazing.
That's so nice to hear.
He's very mature and very, very spiritually grounded. I mean, he's a gem. I'm telling you, a lot of young boys his age, he's far beyond what they're doing right now. He just turned 21, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yes, he just turned 21, and well, dad's got a lot to do with that because dad is a pretty upright kind of guy, is he not?
Yes, he is. No nonsense.
Yes. I love it. Well, that's why Nicholas is so disciplined. Let's just call it what it is, you know?
That's it. Yep, that's right.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, I have to tell you, I fell in love, and I want to now make sure that we play the song that you just discussed, Only Time Will Tell. But if we could, would you indulge me to play one of my favorites? I love
sure.
Manhattan Bridge, and I love Starlight. Can I just say?
Right. Yes, ma'am. Sure.
So, you know what? I'm intrigued by the title of Manhattan Bridge. Why is it called that?
Okay, Nicholas, this is one of Nicholas' songs that he wrote, and he already had the track done when I got there that day. Nicholas actually wrote the song, and he wrote it for me, and he said it just reminded him that he was on the Manhattan Bridge, and that's basically where he got his title for that one from. So I liked it, and, he gave me – he actually wrote the whole song, and he already had the name for the song when I got there. So he said he just wanted to hear it for a trumpet. He wrote it especially for me.
Oh, that is so cool. And what about Starlight? What's the story behind that one?
Okay, Starlight was Starlight was a track that Nicholas had done, and he said he wanted it to be a double purpose track for maybe a movie or a soundtrack for a movie. And Keita Matsuno, the gentleman from the guitar player on it, wanted to be a special, like, crossover tune. And the guitar in it, the classical guitar in it, kind of took it there. You know, when I heard the track the first time, you know, I liked the track. And then Nicholas said, Willie, this is not going to be the end of this track. You wait until I got a surprise for you. And then the day before he sent it to me, he got Keita to play on it. And he sent it back to me, and the song with the guitar in it sounded just like a totally different song. You know, that was the kind of sound I was looking for. It's like Nicholas already knows before he puts it in what the song needs to write, like, take it over the top, you know? And with the Starlight, I mean, the guitar just took it all the way over the top.
Oh, well, we'll have to play that one right now. By the way, Ginger is in the chat room, and Kimberly, your beautiful redheaded friend from California, said to say hello. She wrote a message within Blog Talk Radio. So you've got love in your corner, Willie.
I appreciate that.
Well, let's play another track from another day and time. This is Starlight, Willie Bradley and Company on Hybrid Jazz. Now, you know how unusual this is, but sometimes you hear a song and they seem exactly like the title. When I heard that song, it sounded like Starlight. That's
what?
So weird. Yes. Another Day in Time. I don't know why I keep saying Another Place in Time. Another Day in Time is the name of the CD by Willie Bradley. And it's just such luscious work, Willie. Man, you just love to play, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Man.
I really do.
And that's so enviable. You know, some of us are in the position where we don't play instruments, and I really do lament that. When you have learned to play an instrument, it's a lifelong oasis for you. No matter what the circumstances are in life, you can always turn to that instrument and zone out what's a challenge or a pain or something that is not to your liking. Have you found that to be the case through the years?
Yes, ma'am. I sure have. When all else is gone, it was just me, the Lord, and my trumpet. That's
yeah.
Right.
And the Lord wasn't always there with that trumpet playing, I know. But
right.
when you rekindled that relationship with him, I'll bet you that the trumpet playing is even more exciting to you now, because now you understand that more than just an artist in the world, you've got this purpose. Isn't that beautiful?
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
God. Love it. I really do. So what would you like to see transpire as the months roll on, as this, because this CD is catching fire. You do realize that, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen here? Next month I'm going to release the second single from the CD, which is going to be the track with Lynn on it, What You Won't Do for Love, the Bobby Caldwell song. And Jason Goroff is my radio promoter with Goroff Music Marketing in Las
yes.
Vegas. And we're going to release the on September 28th, we'll release it. It goes radio for ads. So I'm hoping
that's
that
awesome.
this particular single will become a number one Billboard hit. That's my dream. That's the next goal, is to have a number one hit on Billboard. So,
well, you know what? We got to make sure that Bobby Caldwell knows that you're doing it, because he would absolutely, if he hasn't heard it already, he's going to absolutely love this. Whoa! So let's do what we can to make sure he knows.
All right, good deal.
Okay. And then we have to,
okay.
I'm looking at your website right now in case you're hearing this. I want to make sure that folks know that williebradley.net is where to go. And we have to talk about the dates that are coming up for you, because this is why you are on the show, my friend.
Okay.
The dates. You've got all these wonderful dates coming up. Oh, my God. Shall I say, or do you want to?
You can go ahead and say it, and you can go ahead and do it if you'd like.
Well, look, the two big ones, and there are others, because you're going to go to Brazil at the end of the year. Oh, look at you.
Okay.
But
yeah.
You are going to be in Silver Spring on the 4th of September.
Yes. I think that show has been canceled. I got an email today, but as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to have to make sure that it's not canceled and find out the details
really?
On it. I was really looking excited. I was really excited about going there, and I think that I don't know all the logistics behind it, but I think that has been postponed for some reason or another.
Well, that's funny, because I just got an email about it yesterday, and I responded. So, yes, double check on that, but we'll put that aside for
okay.
now. The big thing that we
okay.
have to focus on is Spaghettini's in Seal Beach on the 28th. That's the
okay.
real big one. So
that's it. And let me tell you something, Trish. I did something that in the month of July that, you know, I had to do. I didn't have any gigs on the books in July, And I got a call from Darrell Williams, who plays at Spagatini a lot. He's a bass player that's out there. And Darrell called me and said, Willie, I got this gig that I want you on. And he wanted to know if I was interested in doing it. It was on the 19th of July. I told him yes, and I didn't have anything else on the books. And this is how Kimberly Cook comes into play, because Kimberly and I met Kimberly when I was at Spagatini, when I was featured with Tony Exum Jr. in May. And, I got a chance. Tony featured me on his show because he said, Willie, it's hard to get in Spagatini, but, you know, if they haven't heard you play, you're going to have to come here, and you're going to have to, you know, do your thing so these people can see you. Well, I went and I did that, and then I went back to California the 2nd of July, one-way ticket, because I couldn't afford to get a round-trip ticket. And Kimberly Cook, she knows all the musicians, all of the venue owners, everybody that's anybody in smooth jazz in California. So she put this little promotional tour together, and she was able to take me every place I needed to go, introduce me to the people I needed to meet. And let me tell you, I ended up with about 4 or 5 paid gigs. I got a chance to play on Jazz at the Creek in San Diego. I got chance to play with a Huge Groove with Darrell on. He featured me with Huge Groove the Sunday night. I think it was July 6th when I was out there. I got a chance to play with Blake Aaron and his band on the 4th of July. I think I was out there 22 days, and I played about 18 of the 22 days and ended up getting it like – and I mailed about 100 CDs to California from here, and I bought about maybe 10 or 15 CDs back. I was able to buy a plane ticket back home and bring some money home. And, you know, I'll tell you what, that was the best move I ever made because, you know, the guys out on the West Coast, man, they're the ones that are getting chosen for the Dave Koss cruise. They're getting chosen for the Smooth Jazz cruise. And like Jay Gore, Greg Manning, Tony Moore, Darrell Williams, Will Donato. I mean, these guys are all friends of mine. I mean, I met them personally. I went out there. They're all Facebook friends. So I'm going back out there again on the 22nd of September. Man, I know I'm going to be working. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying you have to go out there and you have to put yourself where everything is happening. You have to expose yourself to where you want to be, no matter what the cost is. You know, and you got to step out on faith because that's exactly what I did. You know, I had nothing to lose but all the gain. And, you know, and the rhythm section that I'm going to have the night of the show at Spagatini is going to be Greg Manning on keys, Tony Moore on drums, Keita Mansuda on guitar, and Darrell Williams on bass.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? Spags is going to be sold out that night. That's for sure.
It's
almost
sold out now.
Oh, that is so awesome. Oh, Kimberly, God bless her. She has got such a big heart, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Blessings to all concerned. See, this has become a situation where all you have to do now, Willie, is sit back. It's not like you're in the driver's seat, mind you. You're on the passenger side of things because this has got a life of its own. It's just propelling you. That's great.
It's incredible.
Oh.
I mean, every day is just incredible. You know, I'm not afraid. You know, like I said, when the Lord removed the drugs and alcohol and he cleared my mind, I can think. And, you know, and he removed the fear. Fear holds a lot of musicians back. Fear and lack of knowledge in the industry is another.
Mm.
And the lack of being prepared. You really have to be prepared, and you really have to do your homework on this, on any genre of music that you're gonna, it's just like, hey, if there's something that you really have passion for, you got to know what you're doing. You know, and if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to have to ask somebody until you find out what you got to be doing. I'm so thankful for Nicholas, Marcus Anderson, Lynn Roundtree, and a host of other people in the industry, like Sue Parker at smoothjazz.com. I mean, these people, Sue Parker, I'm on the phone with her like 2 and 3 hours at a time, and she says, Willie, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. You know, Jason Gore, Willie, this is what you should do. You understand what I'm saying?
That's beautiful.
You know?
Yeah. Gosh. you've got this core of friends and fans, and it seems to be growing. It's just, I mean, it's almost like a speechless kind of scenario where the belief in you is so strong that even it's like that song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." When you feel on days where you don't know if you have the energy or the stamina, or your mind is getting cloudy, maybe because there's so much to do, it's almost like a way is being cleared for you to see what the next step will be.
That's right. You know, and the part of that is Trish, I live in expectancy. When you trust God and you know that you've done the work, you know what? Hey, after a certain time, you gotta expect for some good things to happen. That's why I live in expectancy. And you know, I live based on the promises from the Lord. You know, if I'm obedient to Him, hey man, He's gonna give me the promises and the desire of my heart, and I'm expecting that. It's not being cocky or nothing like that. But hey man, you know, I don't think negative about anything. You know, I've lived that part of my life. I'm done with that. You know, today
yeah.
I don't have any bad days. It's just some days are better than others. I refuse to have a bad day because any day I can wake up is a great day because, and then, like I said, I shouldn't even be here according to the mess that I've done, you know, in my life. You know, I can count several times where I should have been dead, but I know the Lord kept me. And that's enough right there to keep me driving forward in what I need to be doing. And it's not about me. It's not about me because every opportunity I get to, you know, to enlighten somebody new in the industry, well, I'm new in the industry, but somebody that's younger than I am or somebody coming along, you know, hey, and even with the drug and alcohol situation, that's a huge thing. You know, a lot of musicians struggle from that, but, you know, somebody else needs to see that I've come through that. And I got to,
yeah.
That's my job for God, is to show these people that, hey, man, you can get over that. You can get through that. You know, and once I'm able to tell people, you know, hey, I'm not afraid to tell people, hey, man, this is where I came from.
Yeah.
But it came with a price. You know, you can have to do some work. I had to find out who Willie Bradley was. You know, I had to find out what I'm able to do. I had to dig real deep in my heart and in my soul to find out who I was. Now I know who I am and whose I am. And it doesn't matter what anybody say about Willie Bradley, I'm going to be me. What you see is what you get.
Well, here's your big lesson among many, because this is really inspirational conversation. But here's what you have learned. You have learned, and this is what you're going to tell folks, that your past doesn't dictate your future.
It does not.
So there. That's the biggest lesson we can ever learn in our lives. Just because we've made mistakes, we've all made mistakes. And you know what? We can buy into the genealogy, oh, well, I couldn't help myself because my mom or my dad was like this. But you stay away from all of that, Willie. You made a conscious decision. I'm not going to let that happen to me because what you just said, in a nutshell, I know whose I am. Not who you are only, but who I belong to.
That's right.
Big
deal.
You know,
I sat around a bunch of garbage and, you know, started feeling sorry for myself and the way I grew up and, you know, what was, you know, and I just, you know, sometimes you get so bogged down in your past, you can't even move forward.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that's what the devil likes. He likes you to stay in that mess. You know what? And then one day, when that pain gets great enough, you'll do something about it. And it got great enough to me to where I did something about it. But the Lord removed everything that was distracting me from Him. And He got my attention. Thank God.
And now you live in expectancy. That is mind-blowing. I'm going to remember that. Wow. That's beautiful. Man. Oh, Willie. You know what? I could talk to you for another few hours. I'm going to let you go, and we'll find out what the deal is with the Maryland gig, but don't even worry about it, because when you play Spagatini's at the end of September, it is going to be such a turning point for you that I might not ever get you back on Hybrid Jazz again.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Well, look,
also,
you are always.
I also wanted to let my fans know that the Brazil trip and the Japan trip, you know, I've been hired as the new member of RJ and the original James Brown band as a trumpet player. So we have since the movie's been out. Yep. So I went to France with RJ and the James Brown band in late March and most of April. We did 12 shows in 18 days in France, to include Paris. And since the movie came out, August 1st, a couple other countries have picked up the tour. I know that we're trying to get the Brazil dates are not all there, but we're definitely going to Brazil in November. And the day after Christmas, I'll be leaving to go to Japan, Osaka, for two shows. And we have four shows in Tokyo, and then we'll come back home New Year's Day. And other cities, other countries that have bought the tour are going to be Austria, England, Germany, Switzerland, and a couple others. And you know, between own thing, doing the Billy Grant stuff and the James Brown stuff, it's just a blessing. All of my dreams have come true.
Last
year or so here.
Mm.
Anything on top of this, you can't beat it.
Right,
so I have no reason to complain. I have no reason to. complain. I know that. Okay.
Your life is like a big old hot fudge sundae, and you keep on getting the cherries on top.
You're exactly right.
That's awesome. Oh, Willie. Well, it's a pleasure to know you. It's a pleasure to hear your music, and I'll see you again down the road. I know that Christian's got something else planned, and I know that maybe if you haven't heard by now, you'll be in the discussion, but I hope to see you before I take my leave of this area to move to Florida in December. We'll be talking. I'm sure we will.
Okay, Trish. I really appreciate you having me on your show. I really do. I consider it an honor, really.
Well, let me tell you, the honor is mutual, because I'm really honored to know such a strong man of God. So thank you.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Willie.
Okay, Tricia. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Willie Bradley, and I promised I was going to play this song. Ginger, this is for you. Only time will tell. From another day and time on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes.
Good old fish too, who once knew better words, now only use four-letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today.
And day's night today, and black's white today.
And most guys today, and the woman tries today.
A just silly gigolo.
And though I'm not a great romancer,
I know you're bound to answer
when we propose. Anything goes.
Go!
Today.
And most guys today, the woman cries today, a just silly gigolo.
And though we're not such great romancers, we know that you're bound to answer when we propose.
Anything goes!
Anything goes!
Anything goes!
Anything goes!
Yes, sir, you heard me correctly. If you hadn't heard about this, that is one of the tunes they are popping out early from the CD that's going to be dropping on the 19th. Yes, it will be called Cheek to Cheek. And, of course, that's Anything Goes. This is what the intention is. Tony met Gaga in 2011. They were backstage at this event, and at that time, she said to he, "Look, I really like jazz, and God knows I love you, and I feel kind of funny about saying something to you about wanting to do something jazzy." So he said, "Bring it on, girl." And then before you knew it, Duets 2 came out, and The Lady is a Tramp featured Tony and Gaga on that particular tune. They sounded like they had a good time. Tony said, "Would you like to do more of this?" And she said, "You're on." So they are having an absolute ball. So here's what the deal is. First, they're going to introduce what they're doing on HSN, the shopping network, on the 14th of September. The CD is going to drop. And what you have to know about the bottom line for all of this is that Lady Gaga and Tony were of one mind in that they want to introduce these jazz standards that they do on Cheek to Cheek to a younger audience. What way to get their attention is through Lady Gaga singing them. So Tony at one point said he can't understand why she is frittering away her time on pop music because she has a feeling for jazz that's so passionate and so deep that he's getting his mind blown continually. So I'm loving this. You know, I had some mixed feelings about Lady Gaga, but if she's on this road, I'm on the road with her. Joe Lovano is going to be on this particular album too. So there's going to be some folks that Tony knows real well, that Gaga knows really well, and if you see the album cover with Tony and she on it, you're going to be tripping because it's not like what we have seen with the grandiose, outlandish persona of Lady Gaga. It's more along the lines of what Cher looked like in Moonstruck. That's how she looks on the cover with Tony. It's pretty wild. Anything goes. about 2 minutes worth of that song. Very cool. Horace Silver, that was the middle song we heard. Horace Ward Martin Tavares Silva, actually. The name got changed, naturally, through the years. Beautiful. 1973, Horace wrote that song, Summer in Central Park, from his In Pursuit of the 27th Man on Blue Note Records. David Friedman on Vibes. Whew, that was so nice. Bob Cranshaw on electric bass. Mickey Roker on drums. Also on the LP, the Brecker Brothers. Horace Silver. Man, hard to consider now, but his birthday is coming up. He would have been 86 on the 2nd of September. Left us on the 18th of June of this past year, and for some of us, we weren't going to believe it until we heard three or four sources. But we know now, and it's just a beautiful thing to contemplate that that project was recorded in the fall of 72. It almost has an autumn air about it, even though that song was called Summer in Central Park. 1973 is when it came out. Gotta feature these classics, especially when we hear somebody with the depth of talent of both sides of the aisle, the straight-ahead prowess, the contemporary feel, both sides of jazz in Willie Bradley. Really nice to have him for that length of time. I'm honored to have him. Really did affect everybody in the chat room, Willie. That was so nice. Woo! Let's change the vibe just a little bit. I wanted to get involved in playing this track because it gave me the presence of mind to hear another side of the coin as far as what all of jazz is. So I know that there will be a few people who will be very happy that I'm playing Johnny Sandoval right now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I love it. First time we've ever played Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Multiple Grammy nominations. Oh, my gosh, many times. This cat, I'll tell you the truth, I got to know him because there are always these splendid opportunities to delve into music that you may have never heard via the magazine Jazz Is. Because the beauty of getting a subscription to that magazine is that sometimes they offer you a compilation disc or two inside the magazine. Oh, I love those. So it opens new doors for you across the board because it's not just contemporary jazz. It's big band or it's Latin flavored or it's straight ahead. But maybe folks that you ordinarily wouldn't consider hearing because you think that it might not be to your taste. Well, no-brainer for Sister Child here because I like everything. So hearing this, I mean, this is an 18-piece jazz ensemble based in California. Five albums under their belt. I believe they started 2001 or so. Erica Marienthal, I just found out, is one of the first chairs as far as a saxophone is concerned. What you heard is something from Life in the Bubble from 2014. And the name of the song is Does This Chart Make Me Look Fat? So, look, we're talking about a guy who's got a deep sense of humor, loves that 30s and 40s stuff that was going on in the world. And then he adds some really cool arrangements. He likes to speed things up a little bit. He likes to throw in some humor. He's just very interesting. And Matt here in the chat room, Matt Williams, who is a trumpet player extraordinaire and a singer, by the way, sometimes if you close your eyes, you'd think that you were listening to Frank Sinatra. I'm not kidding. Matt tells me that on the 19th, there is going to be a get-together with his particular big band that he has been associated with and Gordon Goodwin. So we'll find out more, and that will give us more of an excuse to play music by Gordon and the Big Fat Band. So nice. Glad you enjoyed that, everybody. A lot of chair dancing going on. Yeah, the Columbia Jazz Band. Thank you, Matt. In conjunction with a little get-together with Gordon. So when Matt sends me the information, maybe we'll do an events page so that folks who are regional can take part. And even if you're not regional, you might want to consider, since we've got a few weeks now, to maybe come to the area so you can see the glory that is Maryland, especially when it comes to a festival featuring a big band like this, the Columbia Jazz Band. And then you've got the added input of somebody from LA who's going to get his socks blown off when he hears the folks from Columbia. Then he's going to hear Matt sing, and then what he's going to do is he's going to say, you know, this guy would sound great if he came to Los Angeles. All right? Just focus on that. Wow. I didn't even get to a track that we were going to get to. You know why? Because we're supposed to play something else. That's what it is. So we played that, and Johnny Sandoval, who is all about the international rhythm. The name of the CD is called At Kanga. Los Inmigrantes is what we heard. Yeah. With Rene Camacho on bass, Joey Navarro on piano. Oh, mercy. Beautiful stuff. On the CD as well, Greg Adams, who is a frequent boss for Johnny because, as we all know, Johnny Sandoval is an East Bay soul. So it was like a little bit of a home reunion on this CD, and all of the fellas that Johnny knows in Los Angeles who know their way around the world concept of what jazz could be. Johnny, this amazing percussion person. Oh, my God. His folks originally from Almeria, Spain, made their way to Arizona, and then Johnny and family came to Los Angeles. And that's a blessing for L.A. right there. Got a few songs I want to play, and I hope I can get to them. And one of them is going to be a little different in this mix. Yeah, a little different. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So I wanted to play the new daddy first. Did you hear Jakeem Joyner and wife Lola had their baby? Did you hear what they named the baby? Because a few months ago, Jakeem was wondering, he wanted to do something different, something meaningful for the little girl that they were expecting. So they named her Trinity Noel. I love that. Oh, my gosh. This is from Jakeem's Evolve CD. Beautiful short track with Jakeem on piano. A gentle walk on water for Trinity. Thank you. Come on now, I keep telling you, it's hybrid. And this is about as hybrid as it gets on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
My favorite song
by Max Carl right there from when he was with 38 Special from Bone Against Steel, 1991, The Sound of Your Voice. Okay, Trish, you have stretched the parameters of hybrid today. Yes, I know that I have because, look, I want to do this man a favor. I have known and loved Max Carl for such a long time. We have never met face-to-face. Tonight that's going to change because Max, oddly, is with Grand Funk Railroad now, but 38 Special is also going to be where he is tonight at the Maryland State Fair. So Max, in the midst of making sure that his roof is okay in Arizona, he's conducting all this business from Maryland. He's in the state. I'm so excited. He says to me, I've got four tickets waiting for you at the main box office, and the meet and greet is at 8 o'clock. So you best believe, L-U-V, that I'm going to play something by Max Carl. Just love that voice. One of the best rock voices that ever was, and one of the hottest men that has ever been in rock and roll, and I don't care if you hear that or not, Max, that's the truth. Woo! We also heard Boney James and Company, Sunset Boulevard from the Beat, Batucada. The Beat, Batucada. He is all about the beat. You know, I have a new appreciation for Boney James. A little tricky when you see him in person because he really gets into these movements when he's on stage, and I find myself blushing. But he's really feeling it, and he likes to incorporate what is Brazilian or Latin or soulful, and I'm telling you, Lenny Castro on the CD has to take a front seat along with Boney because Lenny Castro on that percussion is just unbelievable. Boney's going to have a birthday on the 1st. He will be 53, and he's going to be at the John Coltrane International Jazz Festival this weekend. Yay for Boney James. Very nice. We heard two. New Daddy, Jakeem Joyner. Yes, from Evolve. Beautiful track, A Gentle Walk on the Water. You should see the Jazz Weekly review. Jakeem's got it on his page. And he's got a situation happening tonight, matter of fact, at Jazz Alley in Seattle. But that will be his last date for a little bit because he needs to stay home with Lola. Brand new baby in the house? Oh, yeah. You got to do your share, Dad. You know that's right. What do I have time for? Yeah. Can we do another track? Because I want to honor Dinah Washington. Her birthday is on the 29th. We don't have her anymore. She left us on the 14th of December, 1963, at the age of 39. Man, did that woman live. While she was here, she lived. Oh, stories about Dinah Washington abound. But look, the stories are one thing. The voice is another because she was a full throttle woman. And you can read between those lines, man. If I Were a Bell from the In the Land of High Five from 1956 on Hybrid Jazz.
We're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. From the moment we kiss goodnight, that's the way I just gotta behave. And if I were a lamp, I'd light. Or if I were a banner, I'd wave. Ask me how do I feel, little me with a quiet upbringing. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be if I were a watch, I'd start popping my spring. Oh, and if I were a bell, I'd go ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. Ask me how do I feel from this chemistry lesson I'm learning. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bridge, I'd be burning. Well, I knew my morale would crack from the wonderful way you look. Boy, if I were a duck, I'd quack. Or if I were a goose, I'd be cooked. Ask me, how do I feel now that we're fondly caressing? Pal, if I were a salad, I know I'd be splashing my dressing. Or if I were a season, I'd surely be spring. Yes, and if I were a bell,
have much mercy. Oh my. Woo, that's good stuff. Dinah Washington in the land of hi-fi. Born Ruth Lee Jones. Delved into gospel like nobody's business when she was a youngin. Then got into the clubs. Alabama born. Made her way to Chicago. Lionel Hampton heard her. Hired her. And the rest was history. Did all sorts of music exceptionally well in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993. The big song that put her on the pop charts, What a Difference a Day Made. Remember that song? Oof. Such good, good music. Please make sure that you support live music whenever you possibly can, like Willie Bradley when he comes to Spagatini's in Seal Beach at the end of September. Thanks to Willie Bradley for being here. It was such a treat. Hey, look, coming up on Tuesday here on Hybrid Jazz, Lynn Fidmont and Walter Beasley. Everybody, they're going to be doing some shows together in Maryland. And then Walter's going to be doing his thing at Blues Alley, so this will be a trip. Man, yeah, September's going to be crazy here. Have a wonderful weekend. See you at Grand Funk Railroad, if only in your mind. I'll have pictures, I promise. God bless you. Be safe. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. I love you. Matt, Beach, Griselda. Woohoo!